Lutheran Service Book is a hymnal with more than 600 hymns, Luther's Small Catechism, 150 psalms, daily prayers, and more. And you can take it with you wherever you go with the new Lutheran Service Book ebook edition. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, a devotional resource when you're on the go. Lutheran Service Book ebook edition, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You know, our listeners, our beloved on-demand listeners, they often are listening weeks or months behind. Sometimes even they admit to years behind. They go back to the archives, they listen to something, and they hear it and they think, well, that was so long ago. That was weeks ago. Conversation's over. Conversation's really never over when you have that many on-demand listeners like we do here at Issues Etc. That's why we have the Issues Etc. comment line, in addition to the fact that even those who listen live, when they listen, they sometimes listen and they're thinking it through, and then maybe the next morning or the next week they're rethinking it again and they think, you know, why didn't they ask this question? Or maybe I should have asked that question. Or what did that guy really say? That's why we have the Issues Etc. comment line. It's very simple, easy to remember, and it's open 24/7 for your questions, your comments, show suggestions. That's always very helpful. Criticisms, questions on old shows, questions on recent shows, it's all there. 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. We're going to spend the remainder of this Tuesday afternoon going through your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line. Let's begin with a biblical example that debunks decision theology.
Hi, this is Mark from Kearney, Nebraska, and I had a comment on decision theology. I was thinking that the story or the account of Lazarus, everyone knows why that's such a famous account. It's because Lazarus made the decision to come to Jesus out of his dead state and come alive and go to Jesus. Wait a minute. No, that's not quite right. I think it's actually the other way around. I think Jesus called him out of a dead state, and then he walked toward him. The decision theology is about the same thing. Thank you.
I like your analogy, and I would push it just a little further. I don't think it's even an analogy. Often it's used as an example or an analogy for how someone is brought to faith. Well, it's kind of like Lazarus, who's dead in the tomb, can't hear anything, can't respond to anything, certainly in his dead state. He's not even capable of any of the functions that require him hearing a voice that would call him out of the tomb, much less getting up, making a decision to get up and walk out. That's as good as far as it goes, but I don't think it goes far enough. I think we actually need to say that the raising of Lazarus is not just a picture of conversion, that conversion is you are as dead in trespasses and sins as Lazarus was dead in the tomb, apart from the word of Christ. You are as unable, and it's not a like, you're not, it's not like you're dead, you are dead. That's what Paul says. He doesn't say you were like, almost kind of like being dead. No, he says you were dead in trespasses and sins. So it's not an analogy. I think it's a perfect parallel. You say, well, we're not physically dead. No, but that's not the comparison. The point of comparison isn't physical death with spiritual death. It's death. Death is death. So we were once as dead as Lazarus was in the tomb, and he was completely, utterly dead. You know, like the song from the Wizard of Oz. She's not merely dead. She's truly, really, whatever dead. She's actually dead, and so is Lazarus. So when Paul tells us that our natural spiritual state, apart from hearing God's word of law and gospel, is death, he places us, for all intents and purposes, in the tomb, with the tomb shut, just like Lazarus. So you're quite right. There's just absolutely no room in New Testament theology of conversion for any kind of cooperation. It's not like Lazarus is playing dead, almost dead, pretending to be dead. No, he's really dead. As we were, before Christ called us into life by his word of long gospel. So the conversion has to be something completely different than many Christians suppose it to be. It has to be something radically different than Christians suppose it to be. In fact, not just, I'll even push it a little bit farther. It's not just conversion. You know, a lot of people get conversion right. Oh, no, it's by grace we're saved, and this is not of ourselves, but it is God's work to convert the Christian. They get it right. A lot of Lutherans even get conversion right, and then they suddenly become decision theology advocates for the rest of their Christian life. No, the only thing keeping me a Christian, second by second in my life, the only thing sustaining faith in me, the only thing keeping me from collapsing totally into rank unbelief, rebellion, and hatred of God again, is the ongoing word of Christ and the Holy Spirit that comes thereby that keeps me a Christian. It's not like, you know, the analogy is the analogy is the and this is a true analogy. The analogy is when you're teaching a little kid how to ride a bike, right? First time you take off the training wheels, if you don't hold the back of the seat and run alongside them, they're going to fall over and get hurt. They're going to fall over and get hurt anyway, but you hold the back of the seat and then you run alongside, and then eventually you realize, okay, the mechanics of the bicycle, which is when those wheels are spinning, pretty good at staying up as long as someone keeps pedaling. It's working now, and this kid has caught on, and you let go of the seat, and then the kid rides away, and a whole new era of their life has begun. We all know that picture, right? And that's, sad to say, kind of the picture that many people hold. They get conversion right. They realize that the only thing holding the bike up at first is Dad running alongside. But then they think at some point he lets go, and we kind of move ahead by our own steam, stay up by our own steam. It's not true. I'll say it again. The only thing keeping me a Christian, second to second in my life, is God's Holy Spirit through the word of Christ. Were God to withdraw his Holy Spirit from me, I would instantly, at this moment, cease to be a Christian. I would no longer believe. Faith would depart. And I don't know what I'd do. I'd probably fake it for a while, because my job kind of depends on me being a Christian here. I imagine, I don't think Jeff wants to employ someone who isn't a Christian to talk on the radio about Jesus. I might fake it for a while, but I would no longer be a Christian in any sense of the word. Would I lose all my knowledge of the Bible? No, I wouldn't, but I wouldn't believe it. Or I might believe just enough of it to still not be a Christian. But faith in Christ would depart utterly apart from the Holy Spirit. There is absolutely nothing in me that sustains saving faith. Nothing whatsoever. So if that's true, there certainly couldn't be anything in me that begins saving faith. You know, so the next time you're talking to someone who kind of buys into decision theology, start at the other end of the spectrum and say, what's keeping you a Christian now? Do you daily just get up and decide to be a Christian? If they say yes, it's really, really evident at that point that they are claiming to essentially keep themselves saved. They got themselves saved, and they're keeping themselves saved. I think even the most rank decision theology proponent would begin to see the light there. That what a presumptuous claim they are making over against the sheer grace of Jesus Christ.
On June 26, 2015, I believe we saw three major events in one day that reflects the United States of America is both saint and sinner. First, same-sex marriage is declared illegal, and our president congratulates same-sex marriage activists. Next, our president goes to South Carolina and speaks against racial violence, even leads the audience in Amazing Grace. Finally, later that day, our government exercises the power of the sword to maintain order and protect the innocent. They killed one of two escaped convicts in New York. In one day, our government promoted sin, spoke up for the oppressed, preached grace, and protected the innocent and maintained order. So maybe things are not as bad as they could be, but they are not as good as we want. But then again, isn't that how it is both saint and sinner?
I think I see where you're trying to go with it. I agree with your the part of your conclusion there, which is things are not as bad as they could be, and they're certainly not as good as we want them to be. But I'm nervous and very reluctant to talk about our country being saint and sinner. I think the first two examples you gave there of our President Barack Obama at one time heralding the legalization of same-sex marriage and then speaking in favor of human dignity and rights in terms of racial equality, I think that just proves – that didn't prove anything about our country. It just proves our president is saint and sinner. Now, with regard to your third example there, that there is still justice being carried out by those who have been appointed to do it in our country. And this happens every day, not just one day, but it happens every day. There's still an awful lot of good things happening in the United States. That just proves that God is still remarkably merciful to a wicked and rebellious people. Remarkably merciful, because he could withdraw even justice from us, as he appears to have done many times in human history. Just let man do as man does and let that be its own judgment. But as far as the country being saint and sinner, I think I understand what you're trying to say, but I think we need to keep the saint and sinner in the realm of the Christian, in the realm of not our country, but the individual Christian. And then I think we could also talk about the church being saint and sinner at the same time. All this conglomeration of saints and sinners acting an awful lot like saint and sinner, being at the same time of two diametrically opposed natures found in just one person. So I understand where you're going with that, but I would caution you with making that application toward our country or really any country. But are you right? Yes. Are things as bad as they could be? No, not by a long shot. They're but by God's grace, of course, and his mercy and his providence and his provision. And could things be a lot better? They sure could be. That's what we pray for. We'll be right back. Lutheran Service Book is a hymnal with more than 600 hymns, Luther's Small Catechism, 150 psalms, daily prayers, and more. And you can take it with you wherever you go with the new Lutheran Service Book ebook edition. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, a devotional resource when you're on the go. Lutheran Service Book ebook edition, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, issuesetc.org.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado, Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota, Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri, and Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal. IssuesETC.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I was really thrilled today because this book came out today in audio form, actually came out in every form, a follow-up to Kill a Mockingbird. Now, how am I going to get it? How am I going to read it? I'm not going to buy the book. I won't. I can't read on my 45-minute commute both ways. Every day, I can't have a book in front of me. What can I have in front of me? I can have an audio book. It's part of that electronic way of getting our publications now. Now, there is a great ebook edition that's out too as well. I'm equally excited about that because it's a book that I use every single week, sometimes every single day. It's a book that really ought to be my constant companion, but I find it there in church every single week. It's Lutheran Service Book. And as I said, very excited to see that they have come up with an ebook edition, something you can carry with you on your device. And it's the whole hymnal, Lutheran Service Book, with all the psalms, all the hymns, all the services, all the resources right there in your device. You don't have to carry the hymnal around with you in a written form. You can carry it around with you in the ebook form. And I think that's a very good thing to use it every week. And even every day. Find out more about Lutheran Service Book ebook edition at our website, issuesetc.org. Here's a comment about yesterday's Looking Forward to Sunday Morning teaching.
Pastor Wilkin, thank you very much for your interview with Dr. Frequenter talking about this week's upcoming gospel reading and the other readings, preparing us for Sunday morning. And the observation I think that comes to my mind is as Jesus brings his disciples to this supposedly, or humanly speaking, desolate place, is that in his total provision for them and then for the crowds, that Jesus is our rest. As later reflected in Hebrews 4 and 5, in that he is our Sabbath rest through his preaching the word, through his provision of food to sustain body and soul, especially as it looks forward to the Lord's Supper and our sustenance into life everlasting. And I think as far as looking at vocations that we Christians have, if you think about it, where our Lord is our rest, even in desolation of a hospital room, in the or what we might think is very traumatic, with someone walking through the struggles of mental illness, through the last days of life, knowing that they are going to die, that our Lord sends his under-shepherds, his pastors, with the word sacrament, with constant reading of Scripture to care for them. It also cares for us in our daily vocations of parenting, teaching, being children, and loving our spouses, whether it be our husband as wives or wives to husbands, loving our children, caring for them. All these ways that he brings us to the green pastures of his provision and even into the weekly and so forth divine service of Word and Sign. Thank you very much, and the Lord be with you. Bye.
Thank you very much for your comment. I think you're quite right. And by the way, anybody wants to listen to the Looking Forward to Sunday Morning, those are at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. We do both a 3-year lectionary and a 1-year lectionary version of it every single week. I like you're talking about, the Lord still sends his under-shepherds to give his precious lambs rest. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Lying down is that posture of rest. And that is actually delivered through God's word, through his under-shepherds, through his pastors, wherever God's word is brought, wherever the comfort and the rest of the gospel is spoken, it is regardless of circumstances. And I think you're right. It's all of one piece. God's provision for us in the needs of our daily life are woven together are woven in and through, or maybe we should say it this way, God's provision for us for eternal life is woven through God's provision for us in this daily life. It's all one cloth.
Hi, I've been listening to Issues Etc. since 1999. I stumbled upon the program when I was searching for political commentary. I found it, but the next segment was not what I was expecting, and I didn't want to turn it off. Since that time, I've downloaded countless hours of programming and listened to Issues Etc. during my commutes, workouts, and even mowing my lawn. Christ is always at the center, and the gospel message you have proclaimed has been very formative in my life. Next year, I plan to complete my studies before, God willing, becoming a pastor in Christ's church. I would not be where I am today were it not for Issues Etc. Thank you, Pastor Wilkin and Jeff, for all you have done. May God continue to bless you and Issues Etc.
Well, it's very gratifying to hear. It's not the first time we've heard a young man talk about listening to this program and then heading off to the seminary. So that's also very, very gratifying to hear. But like we always say, it's easy for me to sit here behind a microphone and do what I do. It's easy for us to sit here in this studio and do what we do. The real front line there are the faithful pastors and the laity who are in their various vocations, continuing to confess Christ to serve their neighbor through their vocations. We're just artillery to offer that support to the front line. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Pastor Jonathan Fisk of Worldview Everlasting about talking to children about homosexual marriage. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Hollywood's attitude toward Christianity, the Bible's influence on the U.S. Constitution, the decline of biblical preaching, the connection between biblical illiteracy and Western morality. You'll find these essays and more in the new book, The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, The Place of the Holy Scriptures in the Faith and Life of Confessional Lutherans. Check it out at shop.logia.org. The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, shop.logia.org.